Welcome to Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio on WFYI HD to the Point. I'm your host, Jolene Ketzenberger. It's a happy Halloween today here on Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio, so I hope you have plenty of candy to enjoy. But today we are talking about the upcoming World Food Championships with three local chefs who will be competing at the contest in Florida this next week. We'll hear about what dishes they've come up with when we talk with Craig Baker of the local eatery and pub, Plow and Anchor and Bent Rail Brewery, Cindy Hawkins of Circle City Suites, and Matt Stumm of the local as well. And we'll also hear about judging the event from local food and travel writer Heather Tallman of BasilMama.com. So stay with us for more here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI and WFYI.org.
Eat Drink Indiana Radio is powered by EatDrinkIndy.com, where Central Indiana turns to learn about food from farm to fork and drink from grains to glass.
Competitions are everywhere these days, from Iron Chef-style cook-offs to mystery basket challenges. The food world seems to be constantly competing to see who has the best ribs or the best burger, who can cook the fastest or create a dish with the most flair. Now, I've judged barbecue competitions, pie contests, chili cook-offs, and all sorts of other culinary events, and it's always fun to get to sample the creative dishes that competitors come up with. But for a culinary competition on a big scale with $350,000 in prizes, you have to check out the World Food Championships that take place November 3rd through the 10th in Kissimmee, Florida. In fact, several local chefs will be competing in this year's event. Pastry chef Cindy Hawkins of Circle City Suites, Craig Baker of the local eatery and pub Plow and Anchor and Bent Rail Brewery, and chef Matt Stumm, also of the local. We'll be talking today with Craig, Cindy, and Matt about how they qualified for the World Food Championships and what dishes they've created for it, and we'll find out a little bit about their culinary backgrounds as well. And we'll also talk with food and travel writer Heather Tallman, who has judged at the World Food Championships in Las Vegas. Now, while she's not judging at this year's event, you can spot her on reruns of last year's competition that air occasionally on the FYI network. And you can also find Project Cookoff on OutdoorCookingChannel.com. Now, this year's event will also be filmed for a program to air next June and July. For more details on the competition, go to WorldFoodChampionships.com. We are talking today on Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio about local chefs who are headed to Florida this coming week to compete in the World Food Championships. Now, it's a multi-day competition with a variety of categories that culminate in those category winners all facing off against each other. A dessert against a burger, against seafood, and so on for some big money prizes. And those are the categories that local chefs Craig Baker, Cindy Hawkins, and Matt Stumm will be competing in. And within those categories, they each have several challenges. For a little background on the competition, I talked with local food and travel writer Heather Tallman, who has judged at the World Food Championships.
I think the World Food Championships are a really big deal for both home cooks and chefs because you gather them all on the even playing field. They're all in the same kitchen stadium. They're using the same equipment. They have the same amount of time and the same concept food that they have to create. If you have cooking skills and you've practiced, then you all pretty much have an equal shot. And what is bigger than the World Food Championships?
Tell me a little bit about judging and what that's like.
Well, I definitely would much rather be a judge than a competitor any day of the week, but it's really exciting to blindly taste food. You have no idea who's made it. You don't know what their background is. And really, you're tasting the food and not the flash is kind of the way I look at it. But I really, really enjoy it. I've done it for several years, from barbecue to chili to dessert. And World Food is a really great snapshot of what, you know, people are doing across the country.
Now, we have three chefs from Indianapolis going to the World Food Championship. Any thoughts on the categories they're participating in, the desserts and the burgers and the seafood?
Well, you know, I cannot think of any better category for Cindy Hawkins to be in. I have tasted what she's made. I'm not going to say what it is, but I will say that I've thought of her cupcake probably once a day since I've tasted it. And hopefully, I just really feel like she's going to do well. Everything was exactly on point, and I would buy it. That's how I know I love it, if I would buy it. And I think Craig and Matt are in the perfect categories for their skill set, so I'm excited to see what they make.
So that's how it goes. They have to create whatever the competition is. She has to make a cupcake, and then they move on to another category?
Yeah, so they will go from cupcake to their composed dish, and then their final item is strawberry, just a strawberry dessert, which I feel like could go a lot of different ways. I know she has the skill set to make something really creative. For me, I would really have to test it quite a bit before I win. It would be very intimidating. But everyone has the exact same amount of time, and I've looked at her timeline. It's very well organized, and she even had time to spare. So it's exciting.
So Craig had participated in the past in a burger competition, and now one of his chefs, Matt Stumm, is doing the burgers. You've judged that category, haven't you?
I have. I've judged burger at World Food and also for the local competitions that they have to win to get the golden ticket. So this year I was a judge at the Bull Burger Battle at Family Leisure where Matt won, Matt Stumm. And I also judged it last year when Craig was a competitor as himself. It was good to see what Matt made versus what Craig made, to see their taste really come out. But it was a great burger.
And Craig is doing seafood now. Is that a category you have experience in too?
No, not at World Food. This is a new category for them. Every year they've added something new. They had a pasta category. They had a chef's category. I believe they did something that was all related to cheese one year. I'm not sure if they're doing that again. But I'm glad they're adding the seafood because that really shows some skill. Not anyone can make a great filet red snapper. So it should be fun.
And under those circumstances, it's outdoors, right?
It really is. So the first 4 years, or 3 years, I believe, of World Food was held in Las Vegas. So you're outside. Now it's in November. I felt like it was very comfortable. The locals thought it was cold. So you have part of your area could be shady and part of it's in the sun, and the elements are very undetermined. Now in Kissimmee, I think it's going to be a little bit more precise, but you are out in the open. It's Kitchen Stadium. People can walk by and watch. I believe they've actually sold a spectator's ticket so people can taste and sample. So you're trying to cook and concentrate. You have people talking to you. You have some media taking pictures. You have a lot of things going on, and not just anyone can cook in a time limit with those conditions going on.
And they also filmed this, right? So this is going to be broadcast next year. They'll be showing it.
The last one that was televised was through the channel FYI. I'm not sure if the name has changed since then. But it was really fun. The biggest pain was that everything had to be taped more than once. So when they gave away the ribbons and the checks, sometimes they had to do it four or five times. So you had to muster excitement four or five times in a row so they could get the perfect cut for that. But it was fun. I appeared in several of the episodes when they aired it, so because I judged several categories. So for me, it was fun for friends of mine to watch it. And it aired in reruns for quite some time. But it was also great for the competitors to see themselves because they didn't have the opportunity to get a lot of video. So I think it's a good permanent record for them.
We've been talking with food and travel writer Heather Tallman. For more information on Heather and her food and family adventures, you can follow her on Twitter at Basil Mama or look for her on Facebook. You're listening to Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio on WFYI and WFYI.org, and we are talking with Chef Craig Baker about the World Food Championships that take place this coming week in Florida. And it's not the first trip to the championships for Craig. He's competed in previous competitions when they were held in Las Vegas. Last year he did burgers, this year it's seafood. But how did it all happen, and what is he making this time?
The first year was strictly by accident. I went to the Bull Burger Battle at Family Leisure, and I decided to compete, and it was like I didn't even know. I thought it was a fundraiser. I was going to raise money. And I get out there, and they're like, there's a real judge, like a real guy. His name's Jeff Morris, and he's great. And he just quit working for World Foods, unfortunately, because his catchphrase was, "Do not be late." Like, it, like, sticks in your head. I mean, people are always late, and then they end up crying, and it's funny, but it's not funny. But anyway, so I get there, and I won. And then they gave me tickets to go to Vegas for a week, and a hotel room, and a chance to win $100,000.
Now, what'd you compete with that first year?
Yeah, we had this, like, burgers, stuff with bone marrow and goat and blue cheese. And it was pretty good, but we got there and I learned a lot about the judging process, and we came in 16th our first year. My first burger did really well. I was in 6th. My second burger, I didn't really follow the rules. I had to make a patty melt, and I used cabbage instead of caramelized onions, and so I ended up falling into 16th place. And then last year I switched into the seafood bracket.
Did you just pick that, or do you get put in that?
No, so you have to qualify for every bracket, and I came in 6th, which I was a little more happy about. I still wasn't happy.
So what are they like? You spend the whole day? Is it a whole day thing? Is it several days?
First round, the you have to usually do a signature dish or something. It's a, and there are some parameters sometimes based on who the sponsorships are or whatever products. And then you have to do, the second round is normally a structure build where they need, somebody needs a specific recipe, so like they'll say, hey, I'll give you this product, and you have to build something off of that product. And then on the final round, it's usually a free-for-all. You can do whatever. But they only give you 2 hours, and in 2 hours you have to make, for the first round you have to make 10 plates plus 2 presentation plates, and then that's, and you have to do that in an hour. And then in the next hour you have to do the same thing again for the first and second round. So you can start cooking both at the same time. So usually I find that the second dishes are a little more refined because you have more time. There's a lot of egos. Like last year, I had 2 Michelin star chefs in my bracket. I had a couple Food Network stars. I have, you know, some big regional talent guys. It's also, I think, the championship now for the barbecue. Like the actual barbecue bracket or whatever for the whole country. So there's a lot of people who do this, like, really, I mean, they're serious. Like, they take it really serious.
How did you get into this section this year?
Well, so I'm in seafood again because anyone who places in the top 10 automatically gets in for the next year. And all the winners can come back whenever, if you ever win. And it's weird, like, last year, a gentleman for bacon won, which is great. The year before that, carrot cake won. Like, you're like, what, carrot cake? But 100 grand for carrot cake? You know, I guess that's what it is. But, I mean, I don't know. So you never know what's going to win. It's all that comes down to the judges, and they're fickle. There's no, it's not like the AFC or, like, or ACF, I'm sorry, or, you know, like a beard house. It's like, there's no criteria. It's very, like, it could be a food writer from Minnesota, and it could be a certified master chef, and then the person sitting next to them could be a barbecue judge, and they're eating seafood. And so, like, what you may think is good may not be what they think is good. So it's hard to find a consistency in the judging. So you try to do whatever you think is going to be best and look the best. So, it's tough. It's tough.
So what's your dish this year?
So my first two, because they haven't released what the top 10 is going to be. So I think they're going to do it at the last minute. So when we get there, we kind of have to react. But I have to do a snapper dish. And so I'm still toying with it a little bit. But I think I'm going to do, like, it has to be broth-based. So we're going to do a puree of parsley and with clams, confit lemon, and then so it'll be like a basically bone broth, fish, you know, snapper bone broth with then clams, and then we'll add the parsley puree to turn it green, and then I'm going to do a shaved fennel salad and some other stuff. So it's going to be citrus and whatever, and then a seared snapper is going to go on top. And then I think we're going to blanch and quick pickle carrots and jicama as like a relish for on top of it. And then our other dish, we have to use a potato pulp, which I had no idea what potato pulp was.
What is it?
It's basically like mashed potatoes, or like riced potatoes. But I'm going to make a gluten-free crab cake using the potato pulp and egg whites and butternut squash and honey.
Well, that sounds good.
Well, yeah. I hope so. I haven't made it yet, so I'll tell you when I make it. But conceptually, I thought, well, you know, we want something to bring out the sweetness, and then we're going to add a bunch of other stuff to it. But I wanted something fall to kind of work with.
We've been talking with Chef Craig Baker of the local eatery and pub in Westfield, Plow and Anchor, and Bent Rail Brewery in Indianapolis. To follow along with Craig, find him on Twitter at CBChef88. We've been talking to Craig Baker today here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio because the busy chef who has the local eatery and pub in Westfield, as well as Plow and Anchor and Bent Rail Brewery in Indianapolis, is headed to the World Food Championships in Florida next week. But I also talked with Craig about what he'd be doing if he wasn't a chef and why he competes in things like the World Food Championships.
I love the competition part of it. It's the validation of it. You have a thought, you take it to a finality, you know, whatever, and then you hope people like it. And it's one of the things where you get to compete against your peers, and you hope that what you come up with is the best. And so when you lose, it sucks. But, like, then you're like, well, and some people are into it, and I think some people aren't, and I'm into it. So I do it. And I understand why people don't do it. But if you win, you win a lot of money. Like, I mean, 100 grand for 6 hours of work, that's silly.
Right, so it sounds like it's worth it, right?
To me, yeah. Like, I think it's great. I can see why people don't enjoy it, though, you know? But for me, I'm like, oh, I'm in. So.
What's the downside? Why wouldn't somebody like it?
Well, because you have an idea and you get passionate about it and you get behind it, and then you go and you get judged and it comes out not in the way you thought, and then, you know, people get hurt, you know? People's feelings, I'm not that sensitive, I guess. So, I'm just really competitive, though, and I think it feeds to my personality.
Well, now tell me about that, about being a competitive kind of person.
Well, chefs are all competitive. None of us, there isn't any that you would speak to I'm not competitive. Because if they do, they're liars. That's not true. We didn't get into this for, like, you know, fun. We're competitive. I mean, we're competing for customers. We're competing for, like, everything. So there isn't anyone out there that would say, like, I mean, it doesn't mean we're not friends or, you know, it just we're competitive. I mean, it's especially in the environment right now, so many restaurants, we're all competing for customers, competing for employees. Like, things are starting to come into play that normally you wouldn't think about, like your personality or, you know, whatever. I mean, it used to be people just wanted a job and they wanted to learn a little bit and then move on. It's not that way anymore. So
how so? Like are they thinking, well, maybe I don't want to work for this guy. I want to work for that person over there.
Yeah, they're mercenaries too. It's like I can get a quarter more over here, and then they're up and gone. And I've had several conversations with other chefs, and we just say what it is. You know, it's like, well, sorry. The only ones that hurt are the dishwashers because I love my dishwashers. I can't keep them. So everyone's like poaching my dishwasher. They know, like, I love dishwashers. They're, like, the hardest working people in the restaurant, you know? So treat them with respect and treat them well. And everyone then is like, man, Craig's dishwashers are so fast. We want them, and they steal all my dishwasher. So.
So why do you stay in, you know, a competitive thing? You said you're just a competitive person?
It's my nature. Yeah, it's just my nature. I'm very, like, I like to win Monopoly. I played paintball yesterday with my kids. I wanted to win. Like, I just don't like to lose. I don't think anyone does, but, like, some people are more competitive than others. I'm so competitive I couldn't play team sports.
I get it. So you were a runner, right? So that's an individual thing.
Right. I could run because I'm by myself. And if I let myself down, that's fine. I have no one else to be mad at but myself. But that, I mean, like, I can't play soccer. I can't, like,
You weren't like a baseball player or a basketball?
I mean, I played all those things when I was younger, but then I found that, like, it was not good. For, like, I'd get mad at other people that, like, not that I could have done any better or probably have done worse, but it was just the fact that I didn't feel like they were trying hard enough. So, it's a thing that I've had to deal with. So I've dealt with it. And this is a good outlet for me to do that. Because at the end of the day, we just all get together and we have a beer and we talk about what happened. And you get to meet people that you would never meet unless you went to something like that. You know, like I sat to the certified master chef from McCormick Spices last year, and he and I had a beer by the fire and talked about why my dish sucked. And that was that. I mean, it was great. Like, it was the most honest judgment I've ever had. He was just like, you know, hey, it was freezing, it was cold. And I was like, well, that kind of hurts. So I tried to, like, tell him what I did to prevent that from happening, but he didn't care. You know, he's like, it was cold. And this is just like a customer, but they're just more candid, and they're a lot more difficult. But it was a lot of fun, and that... The fact of the matter is he and I got to hang out, and now we're like Facebook friends or whatever, but he sends me samples every time they promo a new product, you know, and he's like, hey, tell me what you think. And I send him back and I say, hey, that sucks. So, it's like fun, like it's camaraderie that comes about, but it does, the further up you get in the culinary world, the smaller the circle gets. And so basically, like, you get to the point where you can start really touching and talking to people that make a difference in the food world, even if you don't, like me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a big fish. I just, you know, but I can talk to some people who make big food decisions, and then it helps me build and make decisions about my business. So,
yeah. Can you imagine yourself doing anything else? Because, of course, you have a history degree. You're maybe going to teach. Can you imagine yourself in any other kind of field?
Yeah, I'm going to be a fisherman. That's my next job. Yeah. I'm going to buy a taco shack, and I'm going to buy a fishing boat. And whatever I catch, I serve. If I don't catch, I don't open. That's my retirement plan. I've got like 12 more years. Then I'm done. Hopefully, it all goes well for 12 years. Yeah. So.
But there's not another career? Like, if you hadn't done this, you would have been doing something else?
I almost became a fighter pilot.
Really? Now, how did that almost come about?
I was going to the Air Force Academy, and I turned down my appointment because I met my girlfriend, my now wife.
Oh, my goodness. Why did you want to be a fighter pilot?
Oh. Yeah, I just wanted to fly jets fast, and I guess do whatever fighter pilots do, but... all my life, I had a thing about being a fighter pilot, and I had models, and I, like, fought. My uncle was a colonel in the Air Force, so I got to go up to Anchorage and, like, see the planes and all that stuff. I don't know. It was just one of those things for me. I always wanted to be a fighter pilot. And so now, you know, I look back on it, and I guess my decision was good because I'd probably be in Afghanistan, but I wouldn't have kids or family or anything. But, it's just one of those things. If life decisions change drastically in little things that you do. So, meet one person and see what happens. Chef from fighter pilot, you know? Hey, so that's all good.
We've been talking with Chef Craig Baker, who is competing next week in the World Food Championships in Florida. To keep up with Craig, you can follow him on Twitter at CBChef88. Cindy Hawkins doesn't do cupcakes. Let's just put that out there right now. The pastry chef and owner of Circle City Sweets focuses on French pastries, unnatural since she studied at the French Pastry School in Chicago. But Cindy qualified for the World Food Championships in the dessert division, and wouldn't you know, the dish she has to make is a cupcake. But not to worry, Cindy has come up with a killer cupcake. I got to try it, and it tastes like a winner to me. And she has promised to put it on the lineup at Circle City Sweets at least for a little while if she gets to the top 10 in the competition. But why go to the trouble of entering the World Food Championships for a cupcake?
I know, ironic, right? I'm like this anti-cupcake person. anti-making, not anti-eating. I'll eat a cupcake. But so this year they've changed the contest up a little bit. In the past you had a certain time frame and you did your dessert. So this year they've done what they're calling a structure build. And I think the gist of it is to kind of judge everyone on a semi-equal basis. So like for the burger category, everyone has to make a patty melt in addition to their signature burger. Everyone in our category has to make a cupcake. So, I think it's one of those basic things that you can really assess someone's skills by how well they can, you know, mix a cake and, or, you know, make the batter and make a filling or whatever they're doing, make an icing pipe things like that. So we'll be making a cupcake for our structure build. So in our time frame, we have a 2-hour time frame. Our cupcake will be due at the 1-hour mark. We'll have a 10-minute opportunity to get our cupcake turned in. But we'll also at the same time be working on our main dessert, which is a tart that we're doing. So we'll be working on all the components for both dishes in that same first hour and then assemble the cupcakes and have those turned in that first hour.
Do they judge the cupcake separately and then the other one?
They do. And I apologize. I can't remember what the breakdown is. I think it's like 40% of your score is based on the structure build. So for us, it would be the cupcake. And then the remaining 60% of your score is based on your main entry.
So what was it like creating a cupcake recipe when you don't particularly care for that?
Well, we're an all-from-scratch bakery, and we make some awesome cakes. And we love it when we have two cakes that we have at our shop that we love it when people order because we get to eat the scrap parts of it. And we love those parts. And one of them is a coconut cake that we make, and we really love it. And, again, it's an actual real cake with some coconut, desiccated coconut, a little bit of coconut extract. But we often pair it with a passion fruit curd filling. So we decided to go with that. And then it was just a matter of finding the right icing. You know, you wanted something that wasn't horribly sweet and not real heavy. It's a very light cake. It's a very light, the curd's actually fairly light, but very refreshing. And the other thing for us is we wanted to stay with something that wasn't going to be real heavy. You know, you've judges who are potentially going to be eating 34 people's cupcakes. And I'm just remembering back to Chef Jackie and talking about in the MOF competition, you want to be that refreshing item that someone eats. And they're like, oh, thank you for making something not chocolate. So that's why I wanted to kind of go with that passion fruit, lighter, more refreshing kind of flavor. So
when you're creating a recipe like that, where do you start? You know, when you're thinking about coconut and passion fruit and how do you decide what goes with what?
Well, we already had the cake and the curd. We've done a lot of weddings and specialty cakes for people on that. The icing was the harder part for us. Again, trying to find something, you know, we make a really great Italian meringue buttercream. And so that was the first thing we did, but it was just too buttery and it kind of mellowed out the passion fruit. So, you know, and again, it's just trial and error. We've tried a lot of things and gone, nope, that wasn't it. But so Italian meringue buttercream was just too buttery. It's my favorite icing in the world. If I could drown in anything, that would be in the top couple things to drown in. But it didn't go with the cupcake. It mellowed out the curd too much. You didn't get that bite in the back of your taste buds. So then, Tanya had just done a whipped white chocolate ganache for a wedding cake. So we decided to try that. And I never got a chance to bring that in for them to try, but it just was too heavy. It's a great icing, but it was just too heavy. And I literally just started looking through every book I have, anything I have, trying to come up with a recipe. And of all the places in the world, I have this old Williams-Sonoma entertaining cookbook book and was just flipping through coconut. And it was a great little recipe that they had for a cake. So we tried that and we really liked it. It was much lighter, has a little tang. It's got a little cream cheese in it, some whipped cream. So it had a little tang to it, but it was still fairly light, but it went really well with the cupcake. So with the cupcake, isn't that funny to hear me say? It went great with our cupcake.
Well, Tanya, tell me, you know, what you think about the competing and the buildup and the cupcake recipe.
I think it's really exciting that this is something we're doing. I mean, I know Cindy has said she's wanted to, you know, start doing different things and pushing ourselves. And I think I'm not too worried about the time constraint. Ton of cupcakes, but I make a lot of cakes. We make a lot of cakes at work. I do it on the side. So I think we're pretty comfortable on what the recipe that we have. And I know it is one of our favorite cakes to have. So I hope that the judges feel the same way.
We've been talking with pastry chef Cindy Hawkins of Circle City Sweets and her sous chef Tanya Kucinich about the World Food Championships. We'll be back with more from Cindy here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI and WFYI.org. We are back here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio talking with Cindy Hawkins of Circle City Sweets, located in the historic Indianapolis City Market. Now, Cindy is featured in the current issue of Midwest Living for her French macaron classes, and she's headed to the World Food Championships this next week to compete against top bakers from around the country. But here's the question I have, and it's one I'm betting any aspiring pastry chef or a home baker wants to know, too. How did it all happen?
Well, I blame Peach Muddy for everything. I grew up baking. I grew up in a baking family, and my grandma, my mom, my sisters, we've all baked. And baked from scratch. Everything we did was from scratch. And I always baked for people on the side and, you know, never really thought much about it. And then about, oh gosh, maybe 14 years ago or so, I started doing more and more baking for people. And finally, I think it was about 12 years ago, we officially, like, registered as a business. And I started working out of a friend's catering kitchen, Matt Mills at Mills Catering. Started doing some things there on the side and started doing some farmers markets. And Roger, my husband, was working at Wolfgang Puck's and wanted to work New Year's, but felt bad working New Year's because I didn't work in the restaurant industry anymore. I'd been a front of the house for years. And Brad Gates, our friend, was the executive chef, and he convinced Brad to let me come in and work with the pastry department. And I had a blast, and I wanted to do it. So I started working there part-time. And while I was working there, Peach Muddy came on board as the executive pastry chef. I was headed to Chicago for a shopping trip with some friends and my mom and sisters. And Pete said, oh, you should check out the French pastry school, of which I did and fell in love.
Well, what were you doing at the time? Like, what was your real life?
My real job. I worked actually for Community Health Network at the time. I was the volunteer coordinator at Community East Hospital. So I had an awesome job. I loved my job. I had no desire to change careers. It was not a plan of mine whatsoever. But then I did that night at Wolfgang Puck's, and I loved it. And then toured the French pastry school and loved it. And then I went back in January. So it was December when I toured the school. And in January, I went back for a three-day class on pedophores. And amazing time. And I went back that summer for another class on cakes and entremets and tarts. And the chef at the time there I was working with, Bob Hartwig, said, why aren't you in our program? And I was like, that's so cool.
That'd be neat, right? Kind of fun.
So I was like, well, I'm married to a chef and I live in Indianapolis. And he's like, okay. So I told Roger that's what he said. And within 24 hours, Roger had an entire plan how I was going to quit my job and go to the French pastry school. And I didn't want to hear it and I refused to listen and I went to bed. And the next day I sat at work all day long thinking, oh my gosh, I need to go to the French pastry school. So I did. I quit my job, moved to Chicago, went to the French pastry school. And then I pretty much just stayed self-employed after that. I was already working with Brad and Roger at Bugs Temple when that first opened as their pastry chef and did some consulting for them. And then just built our business. The farmers market, we expanded more farmers markets. We did more weddings, more wholesale. All out of Mills Catering. And then in May of 2010, we opened up here at City Market. You know, my former sous chef, Allison, just moved back to town and stopped in the shop the other day. And I said to her, I said, you wouldn't even believe what we're doing now a day in terms of how much production. You know, I showed her what our croissant numbers were of what we roll every day and how many we wholesale every day. And I think her jaw just about hit the floor. We really do. We, you know, we bake for every coffee shop, almost every coffee shop downtown Indianapolis. We bake for Nordstrom at the Keystone Mall. Our side of our, you know, our savory side of our shop, the pantry, Brad Gates Catering, a lot of stuff. We're really, it's amazing how things have grown really even in the last couple of years.
How many croissants do you make a day?
Yeah, 8 to 10 double batches, which are each, yeah, so close to 250 a day probably. Yeah, that we're rolling. Yeah. I shouldn't say we, because I'm rarely here to do it. I roll on Fridays. Tanya and the rest of our staff knock all that out. But yeah, 8 to 10 double batches at least 4 days a week.
Is it a challenge to take that from the farmer's market thing, you know, into a full-time, huge production-running business?
I sometimes don't know how on earth we came to that decision. I really, truly sometimes don't know how we came to that decision because, you know, Roger always worked in the food industry, and I always kept the real job. So we had retirement. We had insurance. We had, you know, I had days off. You know, all that kind of stuff. But it was the right thing to do. We were ready for it. And again, that's part of the reason we came to City Market was it wasn't building out a bakery. you know, I was building out a storefront in a building that already existed. So it's funny because I teach a bakery merchandising class sometimes at Ivy Tech, and we talk about what you need to start a business. And I broke every rule. I mean, I broke every rule. What we started the business from, like how much money we had in our pockets, because we, you know, we financed this ourselves. We literally, Roger always says, out of the change in our pockets. It really, truly was. We didn't take out any loans. We bought all used equipment, including refrigeration. And even my refrigeration guy will say, never buy used refrigeration. You know, we bought a double stack oven at an auction for $70, you know. We broke every rule, and but it's gone great. And you know, I couldn't do it if I didn't have such a great staff. I mean, like I said, they run this show anymore. I'm not here that much, and I always am trying to give them credit for everything because I'm truly not here all that much anymore. So,
but you're teaching, right? Yeah. That's where you are when you're not here,
right? I teach full time at Ivy Tech in the baking department.
What are some of the trends that we're seeing in the pastry field? You know, back to the cupcakes. You know, everybody, you know, was like crazy for cupcakes for a while. That seems to maybe have slacked off a little bit. Maybe it's donuts now. I don't know. Do you see some trends?
Well, there are a ton of donut shops opening up. I don't want to say the macarons. I'd like to say the macarons, but even in town, I don't really know how many places are actually making them. I know some people buy shells and just fill them kind of thing. I kind of get into our own little world of what we do, and we're so darn busy. Again, that's part of why we're doing this competition, is to challenge ourselves to think, you know, more out of what we normally do.
What are some of your favorite things to make or things that you would like to make more of?
they would all say tatin. All of a sudden, my whole staff thinks all I do is make apple tarte tatin, which is not true, but it is great. I did make 5 half sheets at school today, but I don't know. You know, I truly love making tarts. I mean, I don't do them very often, and we don't really have them on the menu too much at the shop, but I could sit and literally just make tart shells for hours. I love that. It's just therapeutic to me. I love making jam. And again, I don't get a chance to do it as much as I want. I have a horrible fruit addiction purchasing problem in the summertime. So I buy a lot of fruit in the summer and get it ready. And it's we have a ton of fruit in the freezer right now that I'll be over the last 4 weeks of school. I'm not teaching, so I'll be here making a ton of jam. That'd be one of my favorite things to do.
Is there something that people should try, or a pastry or something, or a sweet that they should try? Tanya, what would you say?
I don't know. I think we make a lot of stuff that people are afraid to try. Like, we have a couple customers who, whenever we put something new, they're always willing to try something new. And those are the customers we love. We always have, you know, the chocolate chip cookies, the brownies, and those will always be staples. And they're great. They are good, you know, cookies and brownies. But I love when people are willing to try new things. Like, we just put out a caramel apple gâteau for the season, and we do a peri breast, which is, like, one of my favorite things that we make, like, out of everything. So I just like people that are adventurous and to try new things.
Any suggestions on what people should try?
I would agree with peri breast. It's an amazing little pastry. And
What is it again?
Oh, it's called peri breast. It's named for a bicycle race between Paris and Brest, France. Everything French has a name for a reason. So it's pâte à choux, which is, you know, just like your cream puffs or éclair, but shaped in a bicycle wheel, has some almonds sprinkled on top, and then the filling on it is a hazelnut filling, and it's just wonderful. Gosh, it's great. So of course, the macarons we make are the best around. We truly do. I'm very proud of the croissants that we do at our shop. You know, we have a number of customers who will say to us, I've not had a croissant so good since I was in France. And I had not been to France, so I had nothing to compare it with. And I finally had a chance to go in the spring. But, you know, we ate Pierre May. We ate, you know, lots of places. I truly was so proud of what a quality croissant we turn out compared to anything, you know, that we had on our trip. And they were wonderful. I was just so proud.
We've been talking with pastry chef Cindy Hawkins of Circle City Sweets. To keep up with Cindy and what's happening with the World Food Championships next week, follow Circle City Sweets on Facebook. So far today, here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio, we have talked with two local chefs who will be competing in the World Food Championships in Florida this next week, Craig Baker, who's competing in the seafood category, and Cindy Hawkins, who is taking on contenders in the dessert competition. And Chef Matt Stumm of the local eatery and pub in Westfield will be in the burger competition. I asked Matt recently about his burger, how he qualified, and what else he'll be cooking up next week.
So I'm in the burger category. I'm going to be making burger that we have up here on the menu at the local. It's a beef burger from Daywig. Pickled mustard seeds, soy, marinated onions, crispy shallots, lettuce, tomato, and guajillo chili aioli.
So you went along year before last, last year, in Las Vegas, you know, helping out with Craig Baker, right? And so what was it like?
It wasn't really that nerve-wracking. Craig and I have worked together for a long time, and we know how, you know, each other, what we do, and we had it all planned out and had everything set up, measured out. So, you know, it seemed like just, you know, we were doing what we do every day, except with a lot of other people around and in a strange environment, not just our, you know, a restaurant.
What else will you be making during that same competition day?
So I'm also going to be making a patty melt, or a rendition of a patty melt. They gave us the basic, you know, guidelines of make a patty melt out of this frozen burger.
Oh, so you have to use their stuff for this one.
Yeah, we have to use their product, so it kind of evens the playing field out and to really see, like, you know, who's doing what, who executes the best, who's making the most creative thing.
Right. And who can take this frozen burger and make it good, right?
Yeah. So that one's going to be a little tough, you know, and I have to do that one first. Like, I have to make my burger and the patty melt the same day, same time frame. So, going from the, you know, starting out with a frozen burger, don't have any time to let it thaw, or, yeah, it's going to be a little rough.
Now, if you move on through the thing and end up in a top 10, what category would you be competing in then, or do you just not know?
Well, I'm still, if I make the top 10 in the burger category, then I move on, and the main component is citrus. So we have to make a burger that involves citrus. I'll probably use, you know, orange juice, lime juice, something like that to make a sauce out of, and then have something that's, well, try and get a hold of something that's got a lot of fat to it that'll, you know, kind of counterbalance it.
Now, when you get a challenge like that, or you have to do it for a competition, or even you're just coming up with a new recipe, where do you start?
I guess I just start with, you know, what it is, and then, you know, like, okay, citrus, like my favorite citrus is orange, you know, what goes well with orange, and then, you know, things that I like to eat from that, things that I've had, you know, from memory that have been really good, and then just take that and kind of twist it and bend it and put other things with it.
What other things do you have to be ready to do?
Well, there's, I think, 5 or 6 other categories. You know, I'm in burgers, so there's sandwich, seafood, recipe, I think like an overall chef competition, dessert category. I'm really, you know, worried about mine.
Well, what do you have to make next after that one? After your signature burger, the burger that took you there, what other category do you have to compete in?
Well, I'm competing with Craig in seafood.
Right. Oh.
So you know, Craig's in the seafood category under, you know, on his own, and then we're going down and helping each other out since, you know, our categories are on, or our competition is on different days. We're just going to help each other out.
We've been talking with Chef Matt Stumm of the local eatery and pub in Westfield. We'll be right back with more from Matt here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI and WFYI.org. We are back here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio talking with Chef Matt Stumm of the local eatery and pub in Westfield to find out how he's gone from a kid working the fryer at BW3 to competing in the World Food Championships.
I started cooking when I was 18 at a Buffalo Wild Wings. The cooks got paid more than the food runners, and I couldn't cook until I was 18, and I needed to pay for my car. So that started it. Then when I was, well, a couple years after that, I met Craig and started at Cassler's.
Did you like cooking, or was it something you were just doing, you know, for a while?
It was something that I was just doing for a while, and then I really liked the pressure and the environment, and, you know, the camaraderie with everyone. It just kind of it stuck with me. Like, it was something that I really enjoyed doing. And then when I started working at, you know, working at Kassler's with Craig, you know, I started doing like real food. And
what do you mean? You know, this is, I mean, like a change from like the Buffalo Wild Wings kind of
thing. Yeah, it was a change from a deep fryer and pre-portioned everything. You know, I'd never worked on a saute station before, or actually never cooked on a gas stove before. And I started doing it and like seeing how, you know, different things could come together and make some really good stuff. And I think that's when I really fell in love with, you know, being a cook and like wanting to do more, wanting to learn more and get better at it. And then we opened the local in 2011.
And so you were here from the start?
I was here from the start. We opened in January 2011. I was here in October 2010 pulling up carpet and doing construction.
It was kind of a all-hands kind of thing here. I mean, it was a very do-it-yourself kind of thing here, right, with the part as the construction goes.
Oh, yeah. Construction was definitely a very hands-on thing. Once we got started going here, like, we were doing much better food than anything that I'd ever cooked or seen before.
Oh, that's great. So tell me a little bit about that. You know, what it was like, you know, being able to cook some of that kind of stuff.
It was really cool. I mean, Craig would, you know, come in with the new menu and, you know, we'd have a dish on there and I'm like, okay, Craig, like what is this? Like, you know, tell me what's in it, you know, explain this to me. And then he would explain it and show me through and the whole process and, you know, really just learned a lot, and that built a lot of building blocks. And then we hired in some really, really good people here that have gone on to do, you know, much bigger, you know, or different things. But we had a lot of really, really talented people come through this restaurant and, you know, picked up some stuff from all of them. And then
Plow and Anchor came along. You were there for a while, right?
Yeah, and then we opened Plow and Anchor last year, and, you know, started out with John Adams, the chef, like, extraordinarily talented, you know, picked up probably more from him while he was there than I'd learned in the last year I was at the local. And then he moved on, and Toby came in, and Toby also extremely talented. Learned a lot from Toby, not just how to cook, but from both those guys, like how restaurants should be, you know, how to run a restaurant, how to oversee, you know, more than just, you know, what's going on at this one time, like how to look towards, you know, the next day or the next week. Yeah, I was at Plow and Anchor for a little over a year. Then the former chef at the local decided to move on, and he's got a place up in Chicago now, and Craig and Derek asked me if I wanted to come back and be the chef here, and I absolutely did. So here we are.
Now, at the local, I mean, you guys are known for, you know, in addition to the kind of crowd pleasing family kind of items, you have great specials and a really creative menu. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I try and do things that are, I guess, simple things. Like, we've got a, you know, a pork belly on the menu right now. But instead of braising it, we confit it in duck fat and then, bread it and deep fry it.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, you know, everybody likes fried stuff, or maybe not everybody, but it's, you know, a lot of people do. And, We started doing that in August, and, you know, it's middle of the summer, so got sweet corn growing all around, so roasted corn, mashed potatoes, keep it really, really simple, then chili honey sauce, because that adds a little something different to it than just, you know, a fried piece of pork and corn and mashed potatoes, so.
Oh, man, that sounds great. So I would imagine that's been a hit.
Yeah, it was a pretty big hit. We're going through about 4 whole pork bellies a week. So I guess up here, like, we just try and do, you know, simple things, but then take one aspect of it and twist it. And, you know, add something that maybe you wouldn't expect on this thing, you know, this whatever it is.
So your culinary education has been hands-on completely, right?
Like I said, we've had a lot of really talented people come through here, and you know, they've all had different backgrounds and worked for different people, and I spent a lot of time working with them. I mean, Matt Burns from the Barn up in Muncie, and Matt Roby, who's the chef at Plow and Anchor now, and Alan Sternberg, and then of course Craig, and then John Adams and Toby Moreno. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of talk about, you know, culinary school and hands-on, you know, learning on the job. Would you recommend the sort of you know, jumping in and learning how to do it, you know, on the job?
I would recommend spending a year or, you know, a little bit of time actually working as a cook to see if it's something that you really want to do. And then if you decide that it is what you want to do, culinary school is definitely a great thing. But I also recommend keeping your job, because if you're going to culinary school and still cooking, then you're getting, I mean, you're learning from two different places. And by the time that you get, you know, finish up with school, maybe you get a job, you know, as, or get promoted, or, you know, at the same restaurant or go somewhere else, you're already used to the hours, you're used to the stress. You know, it's kind of a mental conditioning thing.
We've been talking with Chef Matt Stumm of the local eatery and pub in Westfield. To follow along with what Matt's up to, look for him on Facebook and check out the Backyard Burger on the menu at localeateryandpub.com. You've been listening to Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI HD2 The Point. I'm your host, Jolene Ketzenberger. Thank you so much for tuning in to our show this week, and thanks also to our guests, food and travel writer Heather Tallman of BasilMama.com, Chef Craig Baker of the local eatery and pub, Plow and Anchor, and Bent Rail Brewery, pastry chef Cindy Hawkins of Circle City Suites, and Chef Matt Stumm of the local as well. And thanks also to producer John Ketzenberger for helping to bring you Eat Drink Indiana Radio.